My rabbi is retiring in a few months. It seems odd to say that, the my part, for there are about 2,100 Jews in Tulsa, really that's all there is. And I'd say about 2,045 of them have closer relationships with Rabbi Sherman than I do. On that point, though, when many in the congregation through the years would complain about getting nothing out of the service, he would always say, well, what do you bring to it? So let me start in the middle. 10-12 years ago, and he's been at Temple Israel about 35, Rabbi Sherman had a heart bypass surgery. He said there was a biblical precept that clergy who experienced such things had to talk about them. And he did. In his first sermon back, he said, when I was being wheeled into surgery, I didn't feel the need that I had to tell my wife and children how much I love them. They know. They know. I thought then, I think now, how do you get to that point in your life where the most important things in it are also the most secure? After a surgery, he grew a beard, which gave him an old-world Jewish Bible look. You call it the Old Testament. There was no computer in his office, no iPhone, no tennis racket. There are instead big, heavy books and pictures of family and congregants, including one of a professional wrestler he bar mitzvahed. Our dealings? I've been married twice. He married me once. To have a Jewish wedding, you need two Jews, he said about his decision not to officiate at the first one. You don't have two Jews. It took me about 20 years to forgive him. I probably should have told him I was angry. For many in Tulsa, not just Jews, he is the face of Judaism, but it's more than that. He has a deep friendship with Reverend Muzan Biggs of Boston Avenue Methodist Church, who is also retiring. And Rabbi Sherman reminds Jews they are not merely guests in this community, but part of it, and responsible for it. He's also a Pittsburgh Steelers fan who wants Roethlisberger to stay off motorcycles. Temple Israel has a huge red wall. It's disconcerting, but it's also reassuring. When the sun's out, rays of light streaming through the stained glass windows, the windows covered in Stars of David, and dissect the massiveness of the red, it's mesmerizing. On the bima, the stage, to the rabbi's right, there was something else, too. 4 years ago, there was a faded picture of my son at his memorial service. To a congregation and a family about a boy in a frame he barely knew, the rabbi said, those who don't have a problem with life will never really fully understand those who do. I sit in the sanctuary. All I see is that red wall. All I see is my son. Moses, Rabbi Sherman once said, was a great leader, a great servant to God, but a terrible father, an absentee husband. I asked him, how do you know if you're getting too busy for your own life? How do you know if you're doing that? And he said, ask your wife, ask your kids. Kids, children. There was a sermon he gave, and I'm not going to do it justice, I'll tell you right now, but it was one of those moments that brought me closer to something, maybe not to God, maybe not to religion or faith, but something, maybe myself, anywhere. Here it is. A father and a son have an argument so bad the son leaves home. For years they don't talk, but then the son hears his father is sick, so he writes him a letter saying he'd like to come home. He says in the letter, Dad, I can't hear your voice, not yet, so I will take the train. If you want to see me, there's an oak tree at the station. Tie a handkerchief on one of the branches. If I see it when the train pulls into the station, I'll get off. If not, I'll keep riding. So the day comes, and the son is on the train, sitting next to a man, to whom he tells the entire story. And as the train pulls into the station, the son says, would you look out the window and tell me if there's a handkerchief tied to a branch of an oak tree? The man looks and says, no, there's not. There are hundreds of them. I don't have to tell the rabbi how much that sermon, how much he changed my life. He knows.